The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on The Weekend Podcast is episode, by the way, 804, if you care. I don't know why I say that. Sometimes people look to, you know, like to look for companies by the episode number, but obviously this is different. So I'm joined by Peter.
Yes, hello.
And Steven.
Hiya.
Steve just said he's starving at the moment because he's on a diet.
Terrible.
You are really fat, Steve. That's the trouble.
Mm. Well, obviously I'm not fat, but I'm just trying to get rid of a bit of belly fat before my holiday. And it's just really hard.
Before your holiday? He's looking to get into his bikini, his mankini there.
No carbs before mobs.
Hey, where are you going on holiday, Steve?
Portugal.
Nice.
Portugal, with who?
A couple of friends.
Yes?
Just a couple of friends.
Okay. That's unusual for you, isn't it?
What do you mean? I went on holiday last year. I've got into holidays recently.
Well, you're a simpleton, Steve. For a long time, you just didn't even know about them all. You went to cheap places, probably, rubbish places, and then all of a sudden you realise, hang on, this holiday, have you tried holidays? It's not too bad, actually. If you go somewhere nice,
more than 200 quid.
If you go somewhere nice with a nice pool and stuff, Steve, and you know, a nice view, nice apartment, then you probably enjoy it. A nice weather, what's not to enjoy?
Yeah.
So, how many is going?
It's four of us. We got a villa, our own pool, a little shared pool as well. Yes,
nice.
Very nice.
Is it all fellas?
Yes, it is all fellas.
And do you remember last time Steve went with his friend last year?
Yes.
That old people complex where Steve is regularly pulling old people. Old ladies queuing up at his door saying, oh, have you been out with Steve? He's wonderful, Steve. Oh, lovely.
Lovely resort.
Mm. Are you going back to the same resort?
No.
Where was that last time, Steve?
That was... I've completely forgotten. Where was that last year? It was somewhere.
There we go.
Yeah, I suspect
that. Wasn't it Mallorca or somewhere?
Yes, it was. Mallorca, that's the one.
There you go.
Thanks,
I remember where you went on holiday.
Is it Mallorca or Mallorca?
There's two, isn't there? There's Mallorca.
Mallorca. It's Mallorca.
Menorca.
The Maldives, Maldives, the Maldives, been to the Maldives, have you? Have you been to the Maldives? Lovely, lovely, absolutely lovely. To sit there, do nothing for 2 weeks, to stare at the water. It's a lovely place, lovely scenery, but nothing to do whatsoever. Love the Maldives, just sit there, zone out, veg, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Maldives, it's nice to Tenerife. What was I going to say? So you're looking at some stocks then?
Yes.
Majorca. It's funny, some people say my, some people say me, don't they? I mean, I've got me trunks, you know. Why do they say that? And also, some people say Tuesday. Remember John Major said Tuesday. It's on Tuesday. And it's not Tuesday. It's D-A-Y. Why are you saying Tuesday? This man's running the country, and he can't say Tuesday. It's really odd. And talking about that, you've got a question, right? Someone's, you know, ability to be a leader, like Theresa May, having made so many errors of judgment, you know, and I'm talking about the Grenfell Towers thing, where she went down there, had a private meeting with the fire brigade, and didn't go and actually see what was going on, didn't actually meet anyone, again, controlling the actual environment, didn't actually meet any real people who'd been affected, or friends and family, but just chose to beat the fire brigade. How many errors of judgment is this woman going to make? Her campaign was littered with them. She didn't want to meet people then, you know? And it went down, you know, well, it blew up in her face, didn't it? Completely, you know? And she's still doing it. She either needs to back off and get away from the leadership and be just a number cruncher in the background, because she's not a human. She's like an accountant without, you know, any kind of emotional empathy, any brain, you know? Yeah. Her and her husband are really cold people. They don't have any children or anything like that. They don't really understand how the families are. I just think she's so far removed from a human. She's literally, I think she is, not from this planet. She's a robot.
You're describing me for a second then.
Yeah.
You and Theresa May would make quite a couple. She's not a great leader, and she doesn't make a great prime minister, does she, let's be honest.
No, it's dreadful. I'm saying, surely there's somebody else there who can take her. She's not in touch with anyone. Not you know, not even herself. You know, she. I mean, I think she'd probably make. You know, if she needs to make, she's one of these people who tries her best. You know, to be human, but she's not. She's almost like a psychopath. You know, one of these people who have no, just not in touch with emotions at all, and doesn't like to confront it. And you know, she'd gone down there and faced the flak and say, yes, listen, and just listen to people and say, what do you need? What do you want me to do? And ask people. That's all she. Yeah, what do you want me to do? And so this should be illegal. Okay, listen, we'll get on to that. I'll get people onto this. We'll get this sorted. You know, and deal with it. Don't hide behind.
Well, show some empathy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Empathy and sympathy. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It's all she needs, isn't it? To go down and say, what do you want me to do? What can I do for you? You know, and then try her best to do it. Is it true as well? The council haven't been down there sorting. You know, all the community have been sorting out stuff, and the council haven't done a thing. I can't understand that.
No, they have. They've set up three emergency centres and stuff. It's very hard to get a true picture of what's going on, really, isn't it? But I think there's some unbelievable purchasing decisions have come to light now in terms of the actual...
I mean, do you know what? It always comes down to cost, doesn't it? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's what they decided to spend the money in, which is, you know, they've done the cosmetic kind of facelift, which has cost millions, whereas... 150 grand, you could have put a sprinkler system in and things like that. It's just
Well, as I'm saying, they saved around, they're saying what, $5,000 on those panels, because the ones they bought were cheaper because they were, you know, flammable, as opposed to
banned in the US already, aren't they?
Yeah, banned above 12 meters, or 12 stories. You can't have them in the US, and you've got to think why. I mean, it's a case of you know, when it comes to human lives. You can't skimp like that, a couple of grand here and there. And it should be, because it'll always happen unless they make it illegal. Because, of course, if you're building a tractor, you want to get the gig. And if you can come in at a lower price than someone else, you will try and do that, you know, and make a profit. So it's got to be illegal, full stop.
But I don't understand how then they do spend, like, they had a refit and it was like 8 million or something. But it's like they're just buying the wrong sort of thing. You know, they're spending too much money on the cosmetic, aesthetic kind of thing, to how it looks, rather than actually things that will ultimately save people's lives.
Well, and again, it has to be written into law, because people, you know, people will always try and cut corners. Like I said, a sprinkler system was advised, but it's not mandatory. It's not legal requirement. So, of course, if you're a building company wanting to, you know, get the gig, of course you're not going to put that in, because that'll cost you an extra 150 grand or whatever, or whatever
and
it costs.
And of course, the point, if you put it to the residents, if you say, would you prefer your flats to look nicer or a sprinkler system, you kind of would, without knowing this kind of situation, you'd probably go, actually, I prefer my flats to look nice, wouldn't you?
Would you? I don't know. If I was on the 24th floor, I'd want a sprinkler system.
I don't think anyone expects a flats to go up like that, and you know, you couldn't predict that the outer shell would have caught fire, so you know, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
There's so many things that went wrong here, isn't there? Even advising people to stay in their flats. But I suppose that was partially, though, down to the fact that these things were very flammable. Mm. And in a normal situation, where if they'd been made illegal and there was a sprinkler system there, that advice would be right, you know? But in this situation where they were flammable and there's no sprinkler system, you just don't get the hell out of there. And it's, you know, I've read some of the accounts, it's heart-wrenching. It really is so sad. Yeah. And not for six, and I thought... That's awful. And you start to think, what would you do if you're in the same situation? And when you're faced with something if you're on any floor and you go to the sort of fire exit and there's fire raging there, you can't get out, what do you do? That you can't do anything. That's it. You have no other option. That's it. That's your option. And it's an awful, isn't it? It's sort of it's a decision to be faced with.
And just things like having only one staircase in the whole building and there's no fire escape. You are absolutely screwed in that event of a fire like this. But also, it's coupled with the fact that you've got this ridiculous kind of accelerant up the outside of the building. Yeah, you are absolutely knackered.
And then it's just also compounded by the fact that apparently, you know, the residents have been talking about this all the time, saying there's a health and safety problem there, and they weren't listened to. And do you know why they weren't? Because most of them are poor, and they're not from this country originally, or immigrants. It looks like all the pictures of people missing, they're pretty much Middle Eastern, or from living, and people they weren't listened to. And yet they said, you know, it's the richest borough in the country, pretty much one of the world's richest areas. But there are poor pockets, like in London, there's rich live next to poor, you know. And like I said, down the road there, in those penthouse blocks, if they even complained about a dustbin, you know, going missing, the council's onto it, because they you know, a lot of money there. And I'm just thinking, it's so wrong. A life is a life, you know what I'm just thinking?
Absolutely.
I tell you what, if you were living in one of those blocks now, anywhere around the country, you'd be scared, wouldn't you? At you know, anywhere above the sort of, you know, fourth, fifth floor, you'd be really scared, I think, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, because the whole problem was this, was the outer shell. So as long as the shell isn't flammable, they do reckon that the fire would have stayed contained within the single flat. Yeah.
So I don't know how many of these buildings.
Yeah,
are.
How many got? How many exactly. got? How many got this flammable? How many been refurbished? I know. And
exactly. Well, get the panels off. That's the first thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, people are going to blame that company, and you can't really, because essentially the company said we did adhere to building regulations, and that's it. The buck stops with the building regulations. Mm. So it's down to the government. They should have made them illegal. If they'd known there's been problems with this, it should be illegal. Full stop. So that building company can't be, you know, held to ransom or held to account in any way, because they were adhering to building regulations. It's the regulations that are wrong. Full stop.
What? Yeah, but what I find, going even deeper into it, is what I find bizarre is that a manufacturer of said cladding even makes a thing these days that is not fire retardant. So you kind of go, I don't understand that. Like, you make a thing that looks really good or whatever, and it works, and it's energy efficient and all the rest of it. Okay, but how about we also make it then fire retardant as well? I mean, that should just be standard manufacturing for any building material. I don't understand why these things exist in this day and age that could have this effect. It's incredible that that's allowed. So going right back down to the root of it, it's the manufacturing I find bizarre. But anyway,
there we are.
Very sad.
I know. And but I suppose it comes out of the case that the fact that, you know, you'd never, like, even all the firemen, everyone's saying this is an exceptional situation where we've never seen anything like this. The way it went up and how fast it went up, it's like no one, it's always hindsight, isn't it? You know, you always like, that shouldn't have happened, but because you'd never think that this would ever happen in reality, but then when it does, you think all of a sudden the whole industry has to change. You realize it's wrong, you know, and even if it's a 1 in 1,000 chance would happen again, doesn't matter. That 1 in 1,000 chance will cost several lives. So it's, even if it costs one life, it's not worth it. So we'll change the regulations, full stop. Anyway, on to stocks and shares. Let's change gear. What have you looking at this week? Anything good?
Steve,
over to you, the man with the long hair.
I've been looking at BT go down.
Yes, yeah. It's going down. I've been trying to buy some for the wife in her ISA. But Barclays have changed their login system, and I can't log in because I don't know why, and she can't because she's not here. Right. She's in hospital this week with Monty. She's got like three weeks in hospital. Yes. But so I'm trying to take advantage of a share price there, and I can't log in. Obviously, she gives me her full permission to do that, but I can't call up Barclays and pretend to be here. You know, I'll do that. Right. I just call up and say, "Hello, it's Megan here." I said, "Yeah, what's wrong?" Don't you say I've got a man's voice. That will really get on my nerves. If you say that, I'm going to complain. No. I've done that before. I've actually talked to someone pretending to be Megan, and it's my voice, and said, "What's the problem? Are you Megan?" "Yes." "You're Megan?" "Wait, yes." "Oh, okay. What's the problem?" And they get all paranoid there because they're scared to offend you. This is a lady with a very manly voice.
Yes, what's going on with BT?
Well, I did the whole market here. We're in the middle of an uncertainty, and we haven't got a government, a majority government, thanks to Theresa May, the inhuman android, and you know, everything's going wrong, is it really? So I was like, it's as bad as it gets. It should rally soon. I mean, you know, you can't pick a bottom unless you're Steve. That's his hobby, and then he sells to the bottom. I wasn't making a sexual reference there.
Right, I see.
Or I should say a below the belt reference. But you know, what did Nicola Duke say on the chart? It will go down. Let's look at the chart. It will go down to about 286, was it, I think? I got a windy pops myself. I don't know why.
Yeah, we can tell.
I'm trying to, though, I keep it covered there, so yeah.
No. All the listeners are like, bloody.
What do you mean all the listeners? You mean the listener?
Yeah, sorry. The listener.
I'm listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve's our only listener.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's right. He just listens. And Chip's in there again with. Well, in fact, you brought up the BT thing. It's more than Peter's on this. I think. Listen, is it oversold yet? I always look for that.
Is there any news that there's a reason it's going down, or is it just going down because of the rest of the market?
Well, they're knackered, aren't they?
Well, I know that. That's why we bought in there. But there's no other news. Since?
No, I listen. I just think, you know, that's why I like my scale in method. You see, always scale in. Never go in full whack, full
this
tilt.
This is our experiment, though.
It is. Well, there we are. Doesn't work that way. An experiment. You do something. You tweak it. It'll be fine, Steve. Towards the end of the year, it'll rally. Towards the end of the year, I don't want to last that long, but I mean, it'll start rallying after the summer. You know, June is never a good month for stocks. You know, the summer months, you know, go away in May, come back when you're feeling gay, that kind of thing. So it'll rally, you know. What's also frustrating, a lot of the liquidity at the moment, especially in the junior market, AIM, is rubbish. There's hardly any volume at all there. I'm looking at the stocks they're trading, and they're like a fifth of the daily moving volume average, you know? It's dreadful. They're all down, all volumes down. It's like people, that saying about the summer months plays into itself. You've also got this.
Political uncertainty.
You've got Brexit on top of that, on top of May trying to form a inhuman android government. On top of that, you've got Brexit. Hello, I am Theresa May. I'm so sad for your loss. I empathise with your local problems in the area. I mean, just sit on the Theresa May robot. Maybe just program it.
The Maybot.
Yeah, Maybot, yes. Mm. I understand there's lots of unemployment in this area. I sympathise.
Sadly, there's an element of truth there.
A lot of you signing on. I understand it can be hard, even though I've never done it.
That's good. Two that are... frustrated me in the portfolio are Teapot, which we did speak about last week.
So, get your results out, guys.
And Yolo as well.
Yeah,
which is one of those sort of blue sky potentially type, you know, things.
Going back even further, Andalus, I'm sure that's still annoying you as well.
Well, I sold out a big chunk when it had a bit of a rally, but I've still got some. Yes.
Yeah. I did say to sell, guys, and I said it's going to take a long time. This, they got money issues hanging around. They're going to take a long time. Listen. There's potential, yes. There's potential, yes. But is it in the, you know, there's trouble with AIM. AIM largely is a trader's market, you know. That's the trouble. And people, you know, I mean, at these levels, it'll drift a little bit. But I think at these levels, as long as they get the deal done, you could have a fantastic return on Andalus if everything they say gets done. But also, what's you know, it's happening quite a few times. Like people are very short-term, like this week, Energizer Investments, ENGI, a tiny little company, came out with, they're going to start investing. Now, the main guy here, the chairman, is, what's his name, Stephen Wicks. He's he's CEO of Inland Homes, which is a 120 million market cap company. Now, the CEO at Energizer Investments is Dominic White, who's like an investment guy who's taken small companies to big companies. You know, they've got a good track record, these guys. They're not messing around. They hold a lot of stock themselves. They made their first investment, and they look at property and stuff in the real estate sector, because obviously that's where they're based, there are a lot of connections there. And they've announced they're going to do micro storage, which I quite like. You know, like Big Yellow Storage and all these places. These are out of town, aren't they, places, massive areas. Mm. Well, now what's taken off is micro storage. People can sort of walk to them, you know, or even just not drive, like a place in London. You know, you have to drive a couple of miles to get these big storage places or big cities. So looking at micro storage, so any basements and stuff like that. So whereas I think these big places are like 40,000 square foot plus, they're doing less than that. And they'll all be automated, and the operating margin is ridiculous. Like it's a 60, 70%, you know? And I love it. I think that's brilliant. He said, we're hoping to get about 20 of these in the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and this is what the model, he says, essentially... Big Yellow are not going to do these small things at the end. But when you get up to a certain level of, say, having a 20 or more of them, Big Yellow will probably just take you out, you know? When you've got a big enough, they won't bother with a couple, but if you've got 20 of them. And so he said, it's very much based on the gym. You know, is it the gym? They floated recently, but I don't know what they're called, the gym group.
Pure Gym, oh yeah.
No, the gym group where they do very small areas. So there's no fancy stuff, it's quite cheap. And they basically set up, and they're doing very well. They floated, they now have a 247 million market cap. And so they want to kind of do that, you know? So take up, you know, lots of little, because there's loads of little places in London and big cities, you know, that can use storage and all that. And, you know, under 40,000 square feet. It's just good revenue, good turnover, good good cash model, and I like that. But it went down on the news because they said I can't see why it went down on the news. I think it was just a case of it said in the next 2 to 3 years we want 20 or more of these. That's quite ambitious, ain't it? In the next 2 to 3 years or next 3 to 5 years. Yeah. But yet, that's too long, a time scale for like AIM. So just dropped on that. I thought, what? Oh, that was a cracking choice because they were going to go into operated properties and like student accommodation. And I thought, no, it's been done or other kinds of stuff. And I quite like this niche here of micro storage. ENGI. I've written a couple of blogs on them. I hold some stock there, obviously. Like I said, it's not intended as investment advice. This is only, and at the moment,
isn't it?
No, it's not. At the moment, they've got some cash there. They've got sold a property. They've got cash. They've got big. The directors hold big chunks of stock. And I'm thinking, what's the problem here? The 2.5 million market cap. Yeah. And I really like Dominic. I did a podcast with him in the week. Have a listen to it. I think it's quite good. Just go on Vox at ENGI. Have a listen to the podcast. It'll last us a look.
But they've been trading in that range of 2 to 3p for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, I quite like that. And there we are. But I quite like that. I mean, check out ENGI. I also think on Friday's podcast, I chatted with the boys there from ECR Minerals. I quite like this story. They've
taken a bit of a hit, haven't they? I saw them.
I don't understand why. They've got like a tumbler of cash, right? They've got about a million of cash. They're only, what are they at the moment? 5 million market cap, something like that, or 4.2. They've got about over a million in cash because this Chinese investor came on for over half a million. They've raised how much? A million, I think, recently in a placing at what was the placing at? They raised a million at 1.8. It's now below the placing price. Right. You can buy it.
Market cap's 3.2, not 4.2. Yeah, it's tiny.
Yeah, and so they've got half their market cap nearly is in cash. They are now drilling in the what's called the Victorian Goldfields in Australia, which is one of the most prolific gold areas in the world, producing gold areas in the world. It's like an amazing amount of gold has been produced over the years. And they're going to this mine, an old mine called Byron, a Byron mine, right? And now they stopped mining here in 1905 because, it's 1905, there's gold guys. And they imagine the equipment they had then. They're running on steam. They had no electric, they're on steam power. And apparently the steam thing broke, cracked one of the mine shafts or something, some damage happened. The mine started flooding. In the end, they just abandoned it in 1905. Just abandoned it. Right. Now
you're quite technical there, aren't you? The steam thing broke.
Yeah, the steam. Steam digger, whatever it is, drill, whatever it is. What have they got there? it broke. So this is 1905, and they were looking at grades back then of like 15 grams per ton. That's a high grade. These days, you can mine, economically, 2 grams per ton. 1 to 2 grams per ton, no problem. But they didn't have the equipment back then to make it efficient. So they're going back into this Byron mine. And of course, first of all, it's an old mine that's mined gold, so we know there's gold in there. The grades could be fabulous, even if it's not, we know there's mineralization there. So they're going to check out and do some work there and see how much they can get there. So I just think, you're in a prolific gold producing area. You're in a mine that's previously drilled, that was abandoned because, they got a lot of the high grade stuff out there, or they thought so at the time. And then they had problems with the workings. And the company actually went bankrupt because they couldn't afford to get it back going. But I'm thinking, the chances of success here are quite high, aren't they?
RSI like now and 40, oversold, I would say.
Yeah, and not only that, if you look at Craig's background, he's done very well. His last company was like a 10 bagger or something like that. And he brought on board some Chinese investors in Larsen. And he's also done the same here. So a big Chinese investor's come on board, have confidence in Craig. Basically, they're willing to fund him to do his work with Ivor because they know they do really well. I mean, Ivor do really well and they know what they're doing. So they have confidence in there. So
In 2014, it was trading around 50p.
Yeah. That's previous management. I mean, Craig took over.
That's not a good thing to say. Previous management. This management, we're now trading at 1.7.
No. The previous management took it down to less.
I see.
They basically, bunkered it, tankered it. Tanked it. Right. And they drove it in the floor, pretty much. And so Craig took over the reins last year. So it went down to 0.8.
I need to listen to your podcast.
It went down to 0.8 pence, didn't it? So, you know, that's what ECR, the previous management, did. I'm surprised it didn't change the name, really. But, Craig came in last year, and it's pretty much doubled, obviously, from more than doubled from that level. But we're in a consolidation phase here. But, but listen, the next couple of weeks, listen to the podcast. They will be having results coming out from this exploration drilling campaign at this Byron mine. They've got two other targets in Australia. They've also got asset in Argentina, is it? Or is it and also in the Philippines. But that's on the back burner because there's regulation issues there in the Philippines at the moment. They're anti-mining in the Philippines, the government. So, without that, I mean, Argentinian prospects and the Australian prospects looking very good. Like you say, you know, their market cap is tiny. They've got cash. Yeah. And they're doing work, and we'll have results out very soon. That's
the market. Your Friday podcast.
Yeah, it? and that's the market we're in at the moment. It's just really nothing's really reacting, you know. Anything else? Go on.
Nothing. Yeah. No, I was going to say there's not been anything this week that's really caught the eye in terms of anything. Any particular news or any particular being my portfolio?
What's frustrating, right, is that if you look at StratAero, you know, Aero's ticker, hasn't really moved at all, hardly at all. There's a bit of volume going through there. But I did look at it there when I went through some of the announcements. Now, the management said on four separate occasions, so on four releases this year, that they intend to break even by the end of this year or cash flow positive. I mean, this is a 1.5 million market cap company. It's got cash because they've raised money. I mean, you know, and it's in the drone industry. They've got a couple of contracts. I mean, the last contract they announced was very small. But there's still a very hot industry, you know, and it's an area that's only going to grow, isn't it? And even though I heard several times that Grenfell estate, the tower, the drones were used. So you can see when you can't use helicopters, because apparently we use helicopter close to fire, just fan the winds, you know. So, but you can use drones and all that stuff. So, you know, they're increasingly being used in all different areas. So I think it's a very hot sector. And they've got a big contract with the Thames Estuary, or the Environment Agency, and Thames Estuary there. And they've got a couple of other training contracts. I think 1.5 million market cap with cash, and the management have stated several times, new CEO has come in, and he's got a very good track record, and he stated that he will be break-even end of this year, so the end of 2017. So, you know, what's not alike there? What's not alike? Hey!
Yeah,
what's not alike?
Yeah. And, yes, there we are.
So how much are you hoping to lose, Steve, weight-wise? A couple of, about 4 or 5 stone?
There'll be nothing
more than that.
Yeah. 16 stone.
I'm not looking to lose any weight, to be honest. I'll probably
I'm looking to put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've just got that classic ring of fat around the belly, which I'm just going to trim off a little bit.
Classic. I got a classic ring of fat. I don't know, I've never seen that classic ring of fat. So, Steve, if you did take a picture of it, I'll put it as the cover for this weekend's podcast.
It's very tempting, but no.
It is a bit tempting. Anyway, get the female listeners up, Steve, wouldn't it?
It's at that point where you can kind of get an imprint on your belly of your belt sometimes when you're sitting down. So, yeah, I just need to get rid of that part.
Steve, you know the way forward? Don't use a belt, use elasticated waists. You get trousers now. That's elasticated waists. That's brilliant, isn't it? Just get a slippery slope, mind. But, yeah, just get those in, Steve. Nice. I mean, hilarious, Steve. Slip-on shoes, elasticated waist trousers, and just go with it.
That's my daytime leisure anyway.
Yeah, just go with the flow. It turns out isn't your belly that's the problem. It's your attire, isn't it? Just change what you're wearing. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's to know?
Doesn't that work on holiday?
It would. You wear elasticated trunks.
How do you know unless you try, Steve? Give it a go this holiday and let's see.
Well, no, I wear jogger bottoms, which is pretty much the same thing.
There we are then. Is it funny how elasticated waists are allowed on certain, you know, bits of clothing, but not on others? So, pyjamas, fine. You know, shorts, fine. Trunks, fine. Joggers, fine. Trousers?
Jeans.
No. Jeans? No. Trousers? No. Why not? Guys, let's bust this trend, yeah? Let's get it out there. guy, there's a way forward. I can start. I'll be
married. It doesn't matter.
Some people call him a trendsetter. Yeah, exactly.
Three-piece suit with elasticated waist.
Yeah. Some people call him a trendsetter. Other people call him just way out of fashion. It's a very fine line. It's a very fine line, isn't it, between setting the trend and being way, way, way out of fashion. Because if you're way, way, way out of fashion, sooner or later somebody will say, hey, that guy's cool. So I started seeing someone now wearing people wearing white socks and having ponytails again. You know? I think, what? I've seen all that in the 80s. It was dreadful.
Socks are back out again, aren't they?
Yeah, white socks and... it was a video of Michael Jackson. I saw a guy, where was it, recently? And he was like, he was quite switched on. He had a ponytail, he was wearing white socks. I thought, he is kidding me. I said, you've got to be, that's not coming back in, surely. I ran upstairs and, you know, dug through my, where's my white socks? But I've been wearing white socks recently, because I run in the morning and have a shower in the afternoon. But I've been wearing white socks around. I've got loafer slippers. So I do look quite 80s with my loafer slippers and white socks. So I'm thinking, that's quite cool, that is.
Still recording.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is, Steve, start breaking in that elasticated waist. Because my kids used to have elasticated waist. Monty still does on some of his shorts, jean shorts. And it's okay for kids, isn't it? They're not fat. It just holds up easier.
Yeah. Mm.
And let's be honest, this day and age, that fashion that is, I never feel comfortable with, it's just hanging my shirt out, you know, just hanging out, especially a buttoned up shirt. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you've got to tuck it in, but then you see, you feel like that was the 80s as well, you used to tuck it in, and you used to pull up a little bit of a belt there. But this day and age, Steve, with the hanging out shirt, you don't see the belt anyway. So why not have elasticated waist?
Food for thought.
You can't on a diet, Steve. But that'd be funny.
Steve, do it for one day on your holiday and send us a picture. When are you going?
2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Just get elasticated.
2.5 weeks of being hungry.
If you do start dating this, Steve, you know, that first time you actually make it in the bedroom and your missus wakes up and she sees elasticated jeans on the floor. It'd be like discovering you with someone with a missing limb. You know, you realise you woke up with. Did I tell you I had a friend who did that? It was in university, and he went home drunk with this girl, and he woke up in the morning, looked on the floor of his girl's apartment, and he saw half an arm on the floor, and he thought, "What did I do last night? Did I steal that?" And I said, "No." He started coming around and looking at it. What's going on there? And then he looked around, he sort of half remembered the girl, and he went to put his hand, hold her hand, and obviously he couldn't. It was on the floor. Yes. He said, "I've never been so spooked in all my life. I was that drunk, I didn't even notice the girl had a false arm." that's how drunk it was. Like, wow. I said, "Did you see her again?" He said, "No, I didn't." that was really cruel. Hang on, you were happy enough to carry her away there, and he didn't see her again because she had half an arm or something. Half an arm. You know, what's the problem with that? It's harmless, isn't it?
There it is.
I knew that was coming.
There it is, that's the end. Right. All right, ladies. It. Any more stocks we're talking about?
No, arm trading. No.
They've been taken over. Yes, but anyway, so there we are. But it's all a bit frustrating at the moment. The market's a bit annoying. But there we are.
Summertime.
You said it's like this every summer, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But this summer's going to be different, Steve, because you're going to get elasticated jeans just for the ladies.
Dearie me.
And the kind of people, the kind of old ladies you get off with on holiday, Steve, they're used to that anyway. and he's a very sensible young man. He's got elasticated jeans. That way, you can eat as much as you want from the eat as much as you want buffet, and you're gonna have to undo your belt. It's perfect. You never again you have to undo your belt after a big meal. Just keep eating.
Yeah, good.
All right.
Lovely, jubbly. Right.
That's we covered about two stocks here, didn't we?
Yeah,
maybe three.
That's fine.
At the top, yeah. All right, then, have a nice weekend, lads. Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.